Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to HCG Body Talk on Blog Talk Radio, where we discuss how to achieve the health and body of your dreams one day at a time with HCG Body for Life. How to stay semper fit, fit for life. Please welcome your host, international HCG diet coach, author, and creator of HCG Body for Life, Colin F. Watson. HCG Body for Life, for the body of your life.
Hey guys, it's Colin Watson, your HCG Diet Coach, and this is Blog Talk Radio, or HCG Body Talk, as we like to call it. And I'm coming to you live from beautiful Hermosa Beach, California. It's a little cool and cloudy here at the beach today, but we're always grateful because the sun's usually shining at some point throughout the day. Today's topic, we're talking about the HCG Diet Protocol and does it really produce permanent weight loss? Or is it really just another yo-yo diet that's the best yo-yo diet on the planet? So before I get started, I would like to do a sound check to make sure my audio is working correctly. I've had the nightmare of being 20 minutes into my show and finding out nobody could hear me. So for those of you who are on the call live tonight, do me a favor and just press 1 on your phone. That throws up a yellow hand to me that says you can hear me, and then press 1 again and put it down. Thank you very much. Now, let me know that we can go ahead and proceed and you guys can hear me. Audio is good, and hopefully we won't have any technical problems with my internet and what have you. We've had some weird things going on the last couple of weeks. But anyway, this topic, I thought of this talk because I actually got a voicemail from a lady named Monica from New Jersey. And really the call was just to say thank you to my wife and I for all the content we put out there. But then she really divulged some really personal reasons, and I think what is the word I'm looking for? What's that when you get up, when you finally the light goes off? But she was basically saying how she was going through another round of the protocol and wasn't having a high level of success, was gaining the weight back and started to realize some of my confessions about times that how many times I've done the protocol and how many times it was for experimental purposes and how many times for actual weight loss and really started to kind of get into her head that, you know what, maybe if he doesn't get it, if he can't keep the weight off, then maybe this doesn't really work. And really started to talk herself into believing that really, it didn't work. It's not working for her. And that I'm paraphrasing, I hope I'm doing it correctly, but basically the gist I got was that she was giving herself excuses for why she wasn't completing the protocol successfully or why it was gaining the weight back. And really wasn't saying to me that, you're telling me that, you've done it you've had to do it multiple times. And so does it mean it's really not successful? But she really I thought, wow, maybe other people think that, and maybe we should really talk about this, because for me, I believe in no hype. You know what I'm saying? So it's like for me to paint a picture that I did this protocol one time, six and a half years ago, and never gained an ounce back, and has kept the weight off perfectly without any kind of struggle for 7 years, I would believe would be setting people up for unrealistic failure. I'm not a person that hides. I'm not a person that BSs. I tell it like it is. But what I do want to make clear is that there are people out there that have had a great deal of success, my wife being one of them. Any other time we've done the protocol, she's simply done it because it helps me complete the experiment or whatever it is I'm doing. But, I mean, she's dialed in. I mean, ridiculously dialed in. But she'll tell you that, she has a sick mind when it comes to, her workout ethic, and that if she doesn't work out, she feels guilty. And so she definitely works at it. It's not easy, but she works at it. But, You know, so I wanted to kind of talk about this and talk about that, you know, that there are successes, and also invite people here to the show. I have people in mind that I will invite. I will do a show this month with people who have succeeded beyond a year of having their weight, maintain their weight successfully with relative ease, and they'll tell you how they do it and what they go about it. But this conversation is to discuss, is there really a such thing as permanent weight loss, and what does it look like? And for me personally, from 2007, when I finally first did this protocol for the first time, to 2010, when I started to write my book, I stayed within 2 to 5 pounds of my end weight for those 3 years, and really it was just a lifestyle. It was just my lifestyle. So I know it's possible. As I started experimenting with seeing if I could change it and make it even easier, I kind of got obsessed with somehow making it easier, because every time I coached, clients and they came up with the same problems and they had the same issues and they had such a hard time with the, because it does take a certain level of discipline to keep your weight in a certain range for long term. And you really have to be willing to do that. And not everybody can do it. I think it's probably a lower percentage than a higher percentage. So I really was obsessed with not only making the diet easier, and finding different, different routes of foods and what have you could get away with in order to really make this protocol as easy as possible. And so every time I was going to experiment, I guess I used to get, 10 or 15 pounds. But I've never, ever gained my weight back to the 240 pounds that I was before. I've never even gotten close because my ego will not let me get there, and also my accountability. I have you guys out there keep me accountable. But it does. But I have done this protocol multiple times in the last 7 years. I want to say at least once a year for the last 7 years. Average that. The first 3 years, I really didn't have to do it. I did it twice the first 3 years, but then after that, I did a lot of experimenting because my job is to be getting paid. But I also wanted to see what I could get away with and what I couldn't, because I hear stories of what people try to get away with, and I want to be able to be the one that says it isn't going to work. So, but she did bring up Monica brought up a very, very interesting thought process, because of the fact that I think one of the greatest reasons why this protocol was so successful was really the paranoia that was surrounded around it. If you didn't do it a certain way, and if you didn't follow a certain regimen, that it really wouldn't work, which is relatively true. However, keeping the weight off has always been a challenge. Now, the hype that was put out there in the weight loss cure, that I thank Kevin Trudeau for putting the book out there and making this protocol, at least the information about this protocol, put it out in the mainstream, because I think that's what really would open the pull the lid off of the protocol being reintroduced to the United States and now the world. But one of the things that he did to sell books was to say that, once you go through phase two and phase three and you reset your hypothalamus gland and reset your weight set point, that you could pretty much go back to doing whatever you want, any lifestyle you want, and you would not undo the good you have done. Well, I'm here to tell you that anything can be undone, and that's including, health problems. A lot of health problems can be reversed through diet and exercise, and a lot of great diets and results can be undone, which many of you have already experienced, where it can be undone just by going back to a certain lifestyle. So one of the biggest myths or misnomers or misleading statements about this protocol is that the resetting of the hypothalamus gland, the resetting of your weight set point, is something that once done, you're fixed, and all of a sudden that you no longer have to worry about what you put in your body. You don't have to worry about exercise. You don't have to worry about diet or exercise anymore. And common sense tell you that somehow that doesn't make a lot of sense. But the part of us that wants to believe that's possible takes us down this road that comes back and forth to frustration. So what I wanted to talk about is it possible? Yes. Is it easy? No. But easy is all relative, depending on what your theories are and how you go about it and how you feel about it. So today we're talking about what happens once you've successfully completed this protocol. Really, what happens to your body, what happens to your mind, and what choices you have to make, and if, in fact, staying within the realm of your goal weight is possible. So I'm here to say, yes, it is possible, and it's going to take some work, and we'll talk about that. But let's just talk about what happens. Beyond this protocol, because really the highest number of clients and customers that I have are not new customers that are trying this for the very first time. They're repeat customers that are basically trying to take off the same 20, 30, 40, 50 pounds over and over again. And it's because it doesn't stink in that, you know, phase two and phase three do not guarantee phase four of life. And it's tough. I mean, changing your habits and changing your eating and changing your lifestyle is challenging. And really, there has not really been a real comprehensive game plan on how to do that. I mean, in our book, How to Feel Good Naked in 26 Days, we do have a phase four that gives you a ton of information and lets you know basically the foods that your body is sensitive to and the foods that you can eat relatively on a regular basis without having too much of a dramatic swing in body weight. But it comes also with a level of accountability. And I'll tell you what I did for those first 3 years and what I do today and how that makes a difference and if it's challenging or not. But I'll talk about that a little bit later in the call. But most of the people are because they found the, you know, something that worked really well for them, but then it becomes less and less effective every time they go about doing the protocol. And the reason why they come to me is like, wait a minute, it worked by myself. I did it perfectly fine the first time. I lost all this weight, but now it's not working. What's going wrong? And I've had previous shows about that. I mean, I'm not secretive about why I feel the protocol gets more challenging. But I wanted to really kind of, you know, cement that if you do this protocol and you follow it and you're willing to make the lifestyle changes that it requires for anybody to stay healthy, then you can have long, sustainable weight loss. However, it is not some permanent magical fix to the physical body that prevents you from treating it poorly and it not responding in like kind, if that makes sense to you. So really, when you go through this protocol and you kind of strip the body of its sugars and its chemicals and its hormones and it basically balances out your hormones and gives your major organs a rest and a break from overworking and overfatiguing itself trying to process all these sugars and chemicals, your body becomes a relatively well-oiled machine. However, the majority of people that walk away from this process look at it as if that was something I did to get here, not something I do to stay here. And that is really where the biggest part of the puzzle is lost. That I can't tell you how many times over the years I've heard myself, my family members, my customers, my clients, and my friends go, I don't know why I don't eat like this all the time. It makes sense. It tastes good. It looks good. The portions are reasonable. I'm not hungry. I don't need to overstuff myself and overfill myself. I don't feel good when I eat this, that, and the other thing, which is usually something processed. However, we find ourselves back with our hands in the cookie jar, literally and figuratively, over and over again. So her call sparked in me because in that call, I want to say that she went through the entire circuit. I mean, she went to what she believed, what she thought, the excuses she gave herself, and the reality that all that was BS, that anyone can make a successful run at this and keep the weight off if they're willing to do the time and do the work. And it's challenging, and really that's kind of been my newest obsession. I've figured out that phase one, two, and three are as perfect as I'm going to get them in my world. But the phase four of life, I really believe that until we can find a eating regimen or a way of eating that the majority of the people can implement and utilize and still have a life and still travel and still, you know, go and watch the fight and have pizza and beer and on the weekends and have dessert and actually not live in a deprived world. And, you know, because that to me is not realistic. It's hard. It's possible. But living like that day in and day out to me is not living, because especially for someone who likes to travel the world and my wife and I like to try different things. If I had to live in the strict world of being in dieting for all that, I would never go anywhere. And, let me stay on point, and I'll come back around to that, because I have a whole big thing about that too, and I tend to bounce around, so I apologize. But really, you know, I wanted to make sure that people understand that, you know what, don't give up or feel that somehow this protocol is failing you or you're failing it or it doesn't work and that you're never going to have sustained weight loss. It is absolutely possible, but you have to really kind of make up your mind that that's going to be the case. and what that looks like. You know, we all have a threshold. And so actually, some, I wouldn't say we all do. Some of us do and some of us don't. There's a difference between why me 15 pounds up on me doesn't feel good, doesn't look good, is just as high as I'm willing to go, as high as my egocentric world will let me go. There's some people that get caught up in the depression of it, the anxiety of it, and next thing they're all the way back from where they started, or even worse off than they started, and they can't understand why, because they kind of fell into that frenzy. I believe a great deal of my success is that I have a level of accountability that maybe you or someone else who's listening to the show doesn't have. That in order, when you're talking to somebody, for example, I was on the phone with a coaching call today with a lovely lady named Susan. And we were talking about, you know, help. We were doing a private coaching call, trying to get her to focus on how she could successfully complete the protocol. And then we got into the whole family dynamic, because it's important for me to know what's going on in your world in order for me to help you navigate the minefields. And at the end of the call, she said, "I really appreciate you talking to me and bringing up these points, and we really covered some great stuff." And I said, "You understand, when I talk to you, it's like talking to myself. Whenever you have an aha moment, I have an aha moment." And so when you're in a position where you're able to talk to somebody about where you're at, or you're coaching somebody or helping somebody through where they're at, it reminds you of where you're at in your own life. And it reminds you that, hey, sometimes take your own advice. So if I tell somebody, hey, you really need to clean up your diet plan, then I look at my world and I go, well, Colin, you need to clean up your own diet plan. So I think it may be a little bit easier for me because I have an accountability, or I'm always in the realm of teaching and learning from people daily. But ultimately, I think we all have that possibility to have that role in our lives with our family members, our friends, and what have you. So this is really I just wanted to touch on this conversation and basically use this venue to invite any of you who listen to the show or who know people that listen to the show that they're role models to you. They have done this protocol. They've done it and they have successfully kept their weight off within a few pounds. I mean, nobody's perfect. To invite them to email me and have them be a guest. Cause I'd like to have I have a list of my own people that I know that are on my list. They're my go-to people to call to, like Shauna from British Columbia, who won our challenge. She did a great job. Kim Landis, which you guys have, if you listen to my show, you've heard about her show and her great success, and the fact that she's helping other people do it. I love how she goes about helping other people do this protocol and the guidelines she puts in front of them before she even decides to help them. It's brilliant, and we'll go into that. I'll have her on the call and talking about that. And I have some of the guys out here that have done a great job, that have kept the weight off. And I want you to realize there are success stories, and everyone has their own way of going about that, their own way of locking in, you know, the new lifestyle. But it is a choice. It is a mental decision to go, you know what, this is the way it's going to be. And a few weeks back, it was actually now been exactly 32 days ago, 33 days ago, I talked about how I was going to do my very last protocol. I was done experimenting. There was nothing else for me to do, and I was going to go back to my, you know, get leaned up like I was in my original protocol and go back to the basics and do it, and that this was going to be my very last protocol ever. And at first, that was a very terrifying thing to say, because, you know, you say something like that, you put it out into the universe, and the universe goes, oh, really? Well, let's see how you deal with that. But the reason why I did that, number one, I believe if you're not willing to take a stand on something, then you're always going to give yourself an excuse for why it's not so. And I'm a person that, when I tell people I'm going to do something, I do it. But ultimately, I did it from, I realized that every experiment that I've done, every time, it doesn't matter if it was 25 days or what have you. It didn't matter if I was trying to tweak phase three or tweak phase two. It affects my wife. It affects my family, because now our family dynamic changes. You know, either everybody's on board or not on board. But if I'm the guy doing this protocol, everyone in my household is going to have to kind of go in tow, because basically the diet menu, the foods we eat, what's in our cabinet, It's going to change. Our lifestyle changes. Our social life changes. You know, all of a sudden, date night, you know, sushi night goes away, you know, for several weeks. And she just said, hey, you know what? I mean, she goes, I'm so glad. She didn't ask me to do it. But when I finally told her, I said, you know, I'm going to do this protocol, and it's going to be my last time. I'm going to get back to where our goal weight is, which was only 18 pounds. But, you know, the point is that it was still going to be challenging, because every time it gets even more challenging, especially when you do it yourself. But I wanted to make the declaration that, you know what, I know how to keep the weight off. I don't think I can make this protocol any better than I've tried every diet combination of some of the best diet protocols out there to see something, you know, taking something from every one of them to see if somehow it would make this protocol even better. And really, it is the best it can get, as far as I'm concerned. How we have it now is the best it can get, because everything else has either produced lackluster results or produced high levels of frustration or nothing close to the level of fat loss in the time frame than our revised AC Body for Life protocol has. So, you know, I realized that's it. I've done the best I can do there. And the only place where there's improvement now is in phase four, which doesn't have anything to do with HCG. It has to do with just lifestyle, and how do you create a plan that can fit in the majority of the world's lifestyle. And that's what I'm working on now. But doing this protocol, so, and it's been, you know, making that stand has made it extremely interesting. I mean, it did put me into the zone where you know, my temptations have been minimal. My frustrations I've been more at peace. I mean, there was a time where I was stuck at a certain weight. It kept bouncing, you know, 1 pound up, 1 pound down. So it wasn't considered a stall as far as the clinical stall for 3 days, the exact same weight. But I couldn't get past a certain number, which is a previous weight set point, which I did a video on recently, that it was a very stubborn. And for 10 or 11 days of the 32 days, I stayed within 2 pounds of the same weight going back and forth. And normally that would freak me out, and I would try and make my body just do all kinds of crazy stuff. And I did my cardio, I did my workouts. You know, but the point was is that I had to also go through the process, and I had to test my own resolve. I had to test my own advice. I had to you're going through what you tell people, you show people how they go through it. Well, you need to go through it. And I did. I went through it, and all of a sudden my body dropped 3 pounds, and it dropped another 2 pounds after that, and I pushed past it. But it was a challenge. But yet I'm at peace because I turned the clock off. It wasn't had to do 40 pounds in 40 days. There was no pressure other than the fact that I know this works. I know that it's going to take me to wherever it's going to take me. I am a different body than I was 5.5 years ago. I'm a lot muscular, a lot bigger, more muscle mass. So let's see what's going to get me, take me. And I just said, let's be excited to where the number ends up. And I don't care what the number is. It's all about body fat percentage. And when you deal with, you know, I have personal trainers, and we're dealing, they're all kind of doing this protocol. And we all talk about body fat, because that's really, body fat percentage is really what matters. The scale doesn't really matter in the scheme of things. So I made that declaration, and I went, wow, you just told the whole world that you're never going to do this again. What happens if you freaking mess up? What happens if you don't maintain your weight? Well, you know what? You can't put your – if you're not willing to make a stand, and if you're not willing to say, I'm going to do this, and this is my option, I'm going to do it, period. Yes, maybe, you know, will I gain a couple of pounds? Sure, that's possible. But the point is that if you take away all the excuses, all you have is your integrity and all your resolve. And so that's what my heart told me, that it was time for me to make that stand. And ironically – I got this call later from Monica, and she talked about how me saying how many times I've done the protocol, you know, gave her an excuse to go, well, you know, it really doesn't work for anybody permanently or long term. So I wanted to clear the slate on that, to let her know it does work for people long term. You can hold your weight. It's not impossible, but it does take some discipline. And I'll talk about what that looks like in my world anyway, and what it looked like in the past and what it looked like in the future. But just so you know, it does. If people aren't telling you this, and I hope you've heard me say it in previous shows, the more times you do the protocol, the more challenging it becomes. Not because you have this immunity to the HCG, not because it is literally psychologically and physically. Our bodies are very, very smart organisms. It can get used to anything. And unless you change the game up, and unless you're really, really mixing up your foods and doing a lot of different exercises and working it, the process is going to be slower. but it's never as slow as any other diet on the planet. It's this diet on its slowest day, this protocol, I should say, on its slowest day will outperform any weight loss system in existence today. And what problem that people have, what they call slow, they call, like, for example, my numbers are 20 pounds in 32 days. The first time I did it, I did 37 pounds. I did, 42 pounds in 37 days. I had a different level of body fat percentage. I was a different body. I have a lot more muscle and a lot less body fat. Therefore, there's a lot less fat to fuel my body. So the numbers are going to be slower. So what people don't realize is that even if you gain weight back on this protocol, you never gain back the same amount of weight that you did before. And you don't have the same level of body fat that you had before. So how you lose it is really relative to how much better your body is in its composition. And so getting frustrated about the slower numbers is really more of a reason to realize it's a celebration. It's just the fact, guess what? You're in better shape, so you're going to lose weight slower. So just think about the person that's in the worst shape, that has the highest body fat percentage, has a lot more fat to lose, is going to have a lot more numbers than the athlete that only has 10 or 12 or 15 pounds to lose, even though their body composition looks completely different. And I hope that makes sense. So, but it is more challenging. So the biggest challenge is mentally, not necessarily physically. So for me, the reason why I finally gave myself some freedom, it actually gave me freedom when I finally said, I'm not doing this anymore. Because number one, it was like, guess what? You're going to follow the plan. You're going to be I'm a lot more strict than I was. Because remember, experimenting was also giving me an excuse to go, let's try this, see if it works. Let's try that if it works. But I had the only downside of me that I would lose less weight in a short period of time. But I always stayed, you know, it was like I never looked bad. So it's like I'd only look better. So it really wasn't the outcome was based on if I would be able to come up with something new and clever for my clients. But this time around, it was like, there's no excuses. It's pretty much I'm doing it as long as it takes for me to get to how I look, how I want to look and feel. That's what I was going to do. It didn't matter if it took me 20 days or 40 days or 50 days. It didn't matter. I was just going to take it one day at a time. And so for me, it's been a very freeing process to be able to go through the protocol for the last time and have the results I have. I mean, I'm already in the mirror feeling like I look better and feel better about how I look, and my wife is coming by, and she's like, man, I don't think you've been this lean since in the last 3 years. You haven't been this lean. So it's like, I know that I'm moving towards the goal that I want. And the thing is that it never fails to work for me when I work it. And when I'm committed, and when I'm not Mickey Mousing around or trying to experiment, which I really was experimenting. I wasn't trying to Mickey Mouse around. But the point is that this works really well when you do it the right way, and when you're committed, and when you're committed and you're consistent, it freaking works like nothing else on the planet. And when you're not, you get the results that are less enthusiastic. So I want to talk about what happens once you get past this protocol. First, I want to talk about if you're doing the protocol again and your numbers are slower, all I want you to know is that it's just because you're in better shape than you were last time. But you don't let your ego from what you did in the past control your present. And also, just so you know, if in fact you did it the first time following the Simmons protocol, your body's even less, it's even more sensitive to the calorie depletion. If you haven't heard any of my previous shows, if you haven't read my book, I show you mathematically how the 3.5 ounces across the board of protein and the vegetables and the fruit in the original menu mathematically comes out to under 500 calories, between 375 and 480 calories a day, which is technically the starvation mode. And for most of you, you'll lose weight the first 10 days really, really well. And it'll come to a screeching halt, and it'll be slow, slow going. And you'll go, wait, I'm doing exactly what I did last time, and it worked so perfectly, but it's not working now. There's a reason why we made a change to the protocol, because it needed to be able to work multiple times, not just the first time. So if you haven't read my book, or if you haven't heard one of our podcasts, all the information is here on these free podcasts. You need to make changes to your protein intake in order for you to improve your numbers. You also, I believe, my opinion, that action begets action. So you need to get mobile. You need to walk. You need to jog. You need to be willing to build, you know, try to build some lean muscle to turn your body into a fat-burning furnace. Fat doesn't burn fat. The only thing that burns fat in the muscle is the only thing that burns fat in your body is muscle. So you need lean muscle mass. Doesn't matter how old you are. I don't care if you're, you know, 16 or 65. The more lean muscle mass you can put on it that's available to you at your age, the better your body is going to be able to maintain its weight. Forget about losing weight. You lose a little weight, you lose weight faster, you look better, you feel stronger and sexier. But to keep the weight off, you need to have the more muscle you have, the easier it is. So let's talk about what phase four of life looks like, or what kind of discipline it takes to maintain your weight. And we are working on giving you an easier way to do that, but the results aren't in yet. So I won't talk about that. I'll talk about our current phase four and why it works, but it is challenging. And it's challenging because it does take a certain level of discipline, which people can do for, some people can do for a long term, but a lot of people seem to can't. Well, I can't say they can't. People choose not to. Because it does take a little level of discipline, and I'll tell you what my world looked like for the first 3 years, and it'll look a little bit differently this time around. But I won't get into that. Until I don't like talking about things unless I know what the outcome is going to be, because I don't want to send people down the wrong road. So phase four for me, through 2007 and through 2010, and how I was able to maintain my weight relatively within 2 to 5 pounds, give or take. Was by pretty much living in a phase three world, which is basically fruits, vegetables, proteins, minimal starches, and basically weighing myself every single day. Every time I had an indulgence that put me over 2 pounds in my body weight, I would eat a steak day. I'd have a steak day. And it would start off where maybe I'm having a steak day every week. And then I would have a steak day then I'd stretch it out to every couple of weeks. And then sometimes it'd be only once a month. But once you get into a lifestyle that you're just used to eating similar foods, you know, protein, vegetables, we all know that that's what works. It's really and minimize eating out. I mean, my wife and I, we chose very selectively when we ate out. And really the only time in those three years where I would gain more than that, you know, 2 to 5 pounds, and I had to come back and really dig in and eat really, really tight when we went on vacation. I think those are the times that really we still hadn't figured out how to vacation and not come back, you know, 10 pounds up. But usually that 10 pounds is, you know, a lot of water weight from the carbs and the swelling from traveling, and you could lose it relatively easily if you're disciplined. But if you're not disciplined, it just compounds one problem on top of the other. So we would basically... We had a different lifestyle, and we would basically choose to eat out we'd find restaurants that we felt comfortable with, that we had foods we loved, dishes that we liked, that were not sodium packed filled or sugar filled restaurants. And we would go to them all the time. To some people, that may be a very boring lifestyle. Some people are like, man, I don't want to eat the same restaurants all the time or go to the same place. But we like safe, because for me, it was less stress trying to figure out where we're going to go to eat, what we're going to eat. That to me was stressful. You know, are we going to find something that's not going to blow us up, and we have to, you know, it would freak you out. I mean, you get on the scale and you up 4 or 5 pounds, it freaks you out. I remember the first time I had sushi, and after the protocol, it was in the first year after the protocol, we finally went and had sushi, and I had sushi, and I had the sake, and I had the, you know, the soy sauce, and the whole 9 yards, and I got on the scale the next day, and I was 7 pounds up. And I don't think we had sushi for a year after that. Because I was just so freaked out that I gained so much weight on sushi. And then, now, as you know, if you guys follow me on Facebook and Twitter, you know that we usually have date night every week, which we haven't had for over a month now. But we have sushi. But we did end up eating sushi again. We found the combinations of having sashimi salad and only having splitting one roll versus five rolls, and found a way to eat our sushi and enjoy it without having a complete, you know, we use Bragg's liquid amino acids instead of sodium sauce, and instead of soy sauce, which they taste almost exactly the same, but didn't have the sodium in it, and we could actually navigate eating sushi really relatively easily without having that swell. But I mean, psychologically, we didn't eat sushi for a year. It was that traumatic, you know, seeing the scale jump up like that. So we had to make some sacrifices. And that's really what living in phase four is currently right now. Is it's about indulging 20% of your life, of the time of your life, and basically eating relatively boring meals. And I say boring because it's like, you know, we're eating pretty much phase three type recipes. And my wife has been very good about creating recipes. Like, you know, she did the cabbage lasagna, which is the only way we eat lasagna now because it's so freaking good that you don't need the pasta, that it's so good that we no longer went back to the old stuff. And she made, you know, a barbecue chicken pizza with a protein powdered type dough. So when we make pizzas, that's the only way we make pizzas. So we've gotten to the point where we've created these dishes that don't use some of the starches and the you know, the stuff that I know that I'm sensitive to, that, you know, the white sugars, the white breads, the white flour. And, you know, she used a lot of Ezekiel stuff, and she kind of, you know, dehydrates a lot of stuff. I mean, it's just the way, it's just our lifestyle. Not everybody wants to live that way. I understand that. And there's got to be an easy way, I'm sure. And that's one of the missions I have. I mean, I'm getting to be certified in nutrition because I want to understand how to break down nutrition for different people, for different body types, and, you know, and learn this kind of stuff, because I'm obsessed with figuring out an easy way for people to maintain their weight, their lifestyle, and still not have to worry about gaining their weight back every single day. It shouldn't have to be a worry, but it does take work. So there is a phase four of life that people can navigate, and then you're going to hear people, hopefully in the next 2 weeks, I'll have enough people that we can have as guests on the show. Probably don't need more than 5 guests on the show. I think it'll be a long call. But having them tell you what they do in their world, in their life, and how they maintain their weight, because their philosophy may be different than mine. This is just the way Janie and I do ours, is basically by living, you know, a boring life 5 days out of the week, and then we have our indulgences a couple days out of the week, and it works for us. It'll be, some people do it every other day. Some people do it, you know, some people just don't do it at all. I remember Kim saying she said she doesn't eat any sugar at all. She just eliminated sugar from her life, period. I don't know if she still does that, but I think so. But, I mean, she'll tell you that. So there are some things, sacrifices that people make in order to maintain your weight. But it does take a little bit of work, but it is possible. And what you have to choose for yourself is what's more important. I know for me that it doesn't matter if it's 10 pounds or 15 pounds. If I get to a place, and for me, there's a spot in my bathroom. And I don't know if you heard me talk about that, but the kind of the key to the beginning of my journey started with, you know, the glimpse of myself in my bathroom, and then the culmination of me not being able to fit in my clothes in my closet and that breakdown. And that's still such a real moment in my life that it can bring up a lot of emotion, me just talking about it. But I luckily still live in my same home that this whole journey began in. And I have a spot in my bathroom where it has the wall of mirrors, you know, and it has two side mirrors. And I don't know if you guys know this. You may have something similar, like you have, like, you know, the two side mirrors. But there's an angle when you're in your bathroom that you get caught between the main mirror and the side mirror. And it catches you at an angle that's just not the most flattering angle. It's not the most flattering if you have something that's not flattering. Now, if your body is symmetrically put together really nice, that can be a really flattering shot too. But there's an angle that catches me at the side, which shows me if my belly is really flat, or if it's actually, there's like a little bit of a ridge there. I don't know if I can give you the visual I'm trying to talk about, but you can look at your mirror in the front angle, and it has a different illusion. You know, when I can look in the mirror, I can still see a six pack, and it still looks as if I have a flat belly, but I can catch myself on the side, and I can tell that I don't. Now, that's me. That's my weirdness, okay? My wife has her own weirdness. But we all have something that we don't like about ourselves that we catch and we kind of go. And that's not really the point, the important point. The important point is the conversation that goes through my head when I catch myself at that angle. The negative words and the comments or the possible names that I call myself, or I say something negative that feeds that is not a loving thing for me. That thing is what makes the decision for me to go, I don't want to be in a position where I talk to myself like that. I don't want to feel this way. Therefore, it's easier for me. I'd rather stay in shape And because it's easier to stay in shape than get back in shape. I think we've all figured that one out, right? But I when I catch myself that mirror, and I go, okay, that's enough. We need to reverse this. That's my limitation. But it's more because of the conversation I find myself saying to myself. And it doesn't matter if it's a year from now, 3 years, or 3 years later. It doesn't matter if someone looks at me out in the world and says, man, you look like you're in really great shape. We all have our own image of how we know or feel we should look or want to look. And so for me, when I start having these negative conversations, that's when it's a sign for me to say, you need to check yourself. Not the look in the mirror, because look in the mirror, I mean, the straight on look in the mirror or whatever other enclosed, whatever that look is, that can be deceiving. You know, that's why I said, you know, how to feel good naked, because in the raw, you can't BS yourself. You can't BS the, you know, the ripples and the, you know, the dimples and the what have you in the picture in the mirror when you're naked. You can do it when you have clothes on, because we all can dress up and look good and catch it and you know, we all got, you know, there's enough synthetic stuff that we can wear under our clothes and make ourselves look good to the world. But ultimately, you gotta look good to yourself, and you gotta look good. You gotta feel good naked, as I say. So really, that's my quest. Is that I, you know, no matter how old I get, and it may not be realistic, but the point is, you know what? That's my quest. No matter how old I get, I always want to feel like I look and feel my best. I want my inside and my brain, my thoughts and my conversation to match my outside. And that's living a congruent life for me. And so I think everyone kind of at some point wants some kind of scenario there. So really, the conversation today was just, I wanted to kind of bring that out here and let you know that I'm giving an open invitation for anyone who listens to this call. It doesn't matter if you've used our protocol, I don't care how, if you use the HE diet protocol and you've had success and kept the weight off over a year, I'd like you to come and share that with the rest of the people listening to the show, because the show has had hundreds of thousands of not this particular one, but my podcast have reached people from all over the planet. And I think that it's not just me living this journey. There's a lot of people. There's hundreds of thousands of people out there living this journey, and they may have a different take on how they went about it. And so I invite you, if you're on my list, that to email me and say, hey, you'd like to share your story. And I really want you to be a true success story. And it's not about, you know, the zigzag back and forth, and you finally get it. You get it when you're able to keep your weight under control for a year or longer. And so for me, I know 3 years you can do it. So I know I can do it for a lifestyle, because I have no other reasons to like I said, experiment and play around with this protocol. And I think it is perfect the way it is. That it has the highest success rate of any weight loss system I've seen. And when I get pictures that people send me, of how it's changed their body, and they send me the before and after pictures, it is the most rewarding, tickling thing that you, and it blows me away sometimes when I go, oh my God, this really, I mean, it's not just me. It's that there's guys and there's women out there that have had amazing transformations utilizing this protocol in a very short period of time. I mean, I just got a picture, I got it's the newest testimonial on the website. I think his name was Kevin, I think it was, sent me his before and after photos where he went on a cruise, and he said he went on a cruise with he and his wife, and he and his wife had great success, and that they were on the cruise, and there was the crowd was older than they were, genetically older, I mean chronologically older, but they were in better shape than they were. And so they were on this cruise, and it was amazing that the majority of the people on this cruise were in really great shape, and they were older than him. So I think he's in his 30s based on his picture, and I'm in my 50s. So I assumed that people were my age, and he was like going, how is it freaking these guys who walk around with their shirt off, and I don't want to take my shirt off, and I'm 10 years or 20 years younger. So they came back, and they both got on protocol, and they had amazing results. And he sent me his photo. He said, my wife's more shy about it. I'm going to talk to her, sending her before and after proto, but she looks great too. And this guy, I mean, he did just a 26-day round and literally looks like a freaking bodybuilder. I mean, just ridiculous. And you see the before and after, and you kind of go, this is just crazy And it just tickles me because I just see how dramatically this protocol can change people's lives. But what I was explaining to the lady Susan I was talking to is that a lot of times weight comes from having some things going on in our lives. There's a lot of stress. We're having a hard time. You know, loss of jobs or family members ill or there's all kinds of things that are going on in our lives, especially in this economy, that the stress just wears on us and the drama in our lives just wear on us and we end up, you know, putting on weight. We end up emotionally just, you know, eating and trying to stuff the pain, what have you. And what I was, you know, and she was talking about how, you know, her husband was finally asked her, he goes, hey, how come I can't do this thing with you? And I was like, wow, you realize that's a huge gift to you? And she kind of freaked her out at first because it's kind of like, wait a minute, I don't know, because I got to worry about you. And what if you don't do it right? And I was like, no, you don't understand that there's nothing better than having a teammate or a spouse be on the same page as you. I don't know if I could have done this without my wife. I tell that all the time. I don't know if I'd be here talking to you this day if it wasn't for my wife stepping up and supporting me and doing this. And even though she said she had her own reasons the first time, any other time after that, it was just for me. And I totally love her and thank her for that. But it's powerful. But I did say that, you know what, that when we did this protocol, we were going through a really tough time where money was tight. We were barely hanging on. I mean, our business had crumbled. It was literally, I think the only thing that I thought maybe I had any control over was maybe trying to get my diet and my health under control because everything else was completely out of control. I pretty much thought that I had lost and failed at everything. I let my family down. I mean, it was a really depressing, difficult time. And what I can say that came out of this the most, obviously the having a new business, a new life, a new lease on life, new health, and be able to help people, was just the power and the confidence that came from being able to finally conquer something. We don't realize that, you know, usually people have weight problems. It's been beating their ass for decades, if not all their life. I mean, there's people I talk to that say, when I say, how little do you want to be? And they go, I don't know. I don't remember ever being under 200 pounds, or I don't ever remember being in good shape. I don't know. I don't have a reference point. And I go, wow. And I go, you know what? But it's just amazing that when you're able to just look at yourself and look at a before picture. That's why before pictures are so important. They're not for me. They're for you to look back and go, wow, frick, I did it. If I didn't take my before picture, I don't think anybody would freaking believe me. I mean, it was so dramatic that I think that's why I got people's attention. But for me, it got my attention because I was like, I didn't realize I looked like that. I didn't have in my wildest dreams, I looked at myself every day in the mirror and really had no clue that I looked that dramatically different or that I could look that dramatically different. But it empowered me to be able to take on things that, you know, that I didn't think I could take on. And now, you know, my life's completely different than it was 3 years ago, financially, spiritually, emotionally. And I believe it started with this journey. It started with the journey of self, of loving myself enough to finally to be able to live in a body that I look at and I'm proud of. And so I just want you to know there is a bigger payoff. And it doesn't matter. You don't have to be down in the dumps or, you know, have be depressed or what have you. I'm just saying, but there's a big payoff when you finally have your self-esteem and your image, your body image and your mental image all are congruent and they match up. So I just want to talk about it. I know I gave people an invitation to send me some questions via email if they couldn't make the show and they may not all be on topic. So let me just go through this question and answer thing real quick, and then I'll open up the lines for those of you that are on the call live. If you have any questions or comments that you may want to have, let's see. If I have all these, I thought I highlighted some of these. Now I gotta. Where did I highlight them? I put them someplace here. Sorry, I closed my email. I didn't want it beeping on me, but I think they're in my email. One of them was, you know, can you exercise under protocol? And of course you can. Someone asking about dimethyl sulfoxide while in protocol. I don't know what that is, DMSO. I've heard of it, but I don't know what it is, so I can't really comment on that. Ricardo, I'll have to do some research on it and see exactly what it is before I can actually comment on if you can use it or not. But if it's a supplement, I don't see why it wouldn't be, but I don't know enough about it to give you an honest comment on that. Can you exercise during the treatment? And if so, is 30 minutes enough? Yeah, you guys know that I'm a big advocate of exercise. And I got to tell you, I work out with a personal trainer a couple times a week, and I work out a couple times on my own. And this guy kicks my butt And it's only for 30 minutes. I cut it back from an hour, but the 30 minutes kicks my butt. I feel freaking great. And I usually work out. I usually haven't eaten by the time I've worked out with them. I either have not eaten anything or I've had only half a grapefruit. And I got all the energy in the world. I can complete my workout. And I feel completely energized. Now I even run to the gym. I work out with him and I run home. And that's my workout with him for the day. And I feel amazing. So exercise is fantastic. And all I say is listen to your body. If you feel tired, rest. If you feel energized, exercise. And if it's 9 o'clock at night and you just feel like, wow, I feel like running, go do it. I gotta tell you, I have this little game I'm playing with myself now. I know that sounds kind of strange, but I get a glimpse of what tomorrow's numbers are gonna look like by weighing myself before I go to bed. And this is what I found out. And some of you, this may be a dangerous thing to do. It may freak you out, but I find out, this is what I find out. Usually, I was an advocate in my previous show. I'll tell you, you weigh yourself one time a day, and that's it. Because unless you understand that your body hydrates, and you can weigh in, and an hour later, you can weigh a pound or two more, because as soon as you drink a cup of coffee or have fluids or whatever, your body starts to fill up and hydrate, and then you can weigh more. And if it freaks you out, you can't deal with it. But everyone weighs lightest in the morning when they wake up, and they're going to weigh heavier throughout the day. But I've noticed that the closer I can get my body to be to what I weighed in the morning, at night, I found that literally there's been a 2 to 3 pound drop overnight. So for example, if I'm 202 this morning, and I go to bed tonight at 203. There's a good chance that I'll be 201 or 200 tomorrow. And it's been like clockwork for the last, say, 7-8 days. I've noticed that this has been the game I play. And so I know if I get on the scale and I'm hydrated, a pound or two more than where I was this morning, I'll probably end up being close to the same weight that I was the day before, maybe a quarter of a pound here or eighth of a pound there. So I kind of play this game that and it also keeps me psychologically that I don't have any kind of cravings for anything after 8:30, 9 o'clock, because I used to still sneak and eat my fruit or whatever till almost 10 o'clock at night, and I kind of like, you know what, dude, you're still eating a little bit too late. And especially when I got stuck for those 10 days, when I was stuck with the numbers kind of staying around the same range, I was like, you know what, dude, you need to tighten up your game here, because something ain't working, and you need to push past this. So I did, and I just noticed that the closer I eat to the 8:30, 8:30, which is what I recommend in my book anyway. But I go to weigh myself, and I find out that I am close to the weight I was in the morning, then I pretty much guarantee myself that I have a 1 pound loss or better the next day, or I know that I have a loss the next day. I hope that makes sense. But so the closer you weigh to what you weighed in the morning after hydrating and then doing your exercise, and at the end of the day, if you can level it off where you're within, a couple of pounds of what you weighed in the morning, there's a good chance you're going to have it. You can wake up. You're almost like willing into the projecting into the future a loss. Kind of my brain. I go to bed with my brain going, okay, well, I'm 207. That means tomorrow I'm going to be. Or 202. That means tomorrow I'm going to be 201 or better. And so far, I've been right on the money every day for the last week. So that's a little trick you could play. If you find that it freaks you out, or you're getting on the scale and you're starting to get obsessive and you're weighing yourself every hour or something crazy like that, please stop. It's not supposed to be. This is only for the brave at heart. Okay. Let's see if I got my email up here. All right. So what this is Natalie. She asked about the exercise. Terry asked about. He said that. Two questions. One about the HIIT workouts in my book link are down. Yes, they are. So for some reason, we lost like 100 videos in my video hosting account, and we're trying to copy them out and put them all back up. So they'll be all up and running hopefully by the weekend. He asked about xylitol. Is xylitol safe on phase two? Yes, xylitol is another natural sweetener. I think it is. It's made from another root. That actually, my wife cooks with it. It doesn't spike your insulin or your sugar levels, so you can use that on the protocol on all phases. And he talked about the MIC injections. If you get one of our kits or you buy on our site, we have lipotropic shots, B12, MIC, which are used differently than a normal B12. So people get it confused. The B12, the regular B12, we take on a daily dose, about 40 to 50 units a day, along with your HCG. And that's basically for energy. It helps minimize hair loss in women. It basically helps you give you some more energy. You actually have helps mobilize fat a little bit more, so you can exercise more. The MIC is actually lipotropic. Is literally to help your liver process fat at a higher rate. Actually helps you burn fat faster. That shot, however, is done intramuscularly and is done once every 3 days. So the question I've been getting, do you take the daily B12 and the B12 MIC at the same time? You can, but some people, you may get a reaction to having too much B12. You work out, if you break out with a rash, especially women, start breaking out with a rash on your body, on your face, it means you're taking too much. You need to back away from that. But if you use the MIC, one shot every 3 days, every 72 hours is perfectly enough. You don't need any additional B12, and you'll still get the boosted energy, but you also get the fat loss. The extra mobilization of fat, which helps on this protocol because your body's mobilizing more fat than it ever has before in any other protocol. Let's see, what this is Lee. Lee, I have medical issues and I am on a lot of antibiotics. How do I stay on track with this? You know, antibiotics are one of the drugs out there that really can affect your body's ability to lose weight on this protocol. It doesn't happen to everybody. You know, a lot of doctors, you know, a lot of the protocols that stop all medications. I'm not a doctor, but my personal recommendation is that I wouldn't feel comfortable telling anybody to stop any medications, especially if it's something that's correcting an ailment. However, you may get some resistance by having antibiotics in your system on the protocol. If you know that and you're aware of that and your numbers are slow while you're on that treatment, you know, then do what you got to do. That's only if you're having to take the antibiotics while you were already on the protocol. I mean, if you are on the antibiotics, wait until you're done curing whatever it is on your body. That the antibiotics are trying to cure the infection or whatever, you have a cold or a flu, whatever it is. Because your body's under duress anyway, and it has a hard time doing much of anything when it's trying to fight off disease or illness. So if, in fact, illness comes on while you're on the protocol, you may want to stop and take a break and heal and then come back on. But if you don't want to do that, then just know you may have some slowing numbers. But if you're already sick and you're waiting, then wait to start the protocol after. Especially you ladies, too. I'm going to throw this in there. If you know your cycle is coming up, save yourself some grief. Cycles, for a lot of women, when it comes up in this protocol, it stops your weight loss. It slows it down. It can prolong it can stall you for days. That's my daughter, Vanessa, who went through a 10 or 13-day just stall because she started right at the beginning of her period. Then she was on her period for the whole – it just took a long time, and it took everything in her to fight through it, to wait it out till she finally started losing weight again. If you're not familiar with this protocol, it can literally just send you into a tailspin and have you quit prematurely. So try and time it. My wife is really good about that. Jane, every time she's done this, she times it. She times it on, like, she does the protocol right when her period starts, because that's when she's hungry and craving anyway. She kind of starts right when she knows it's going to end in a couple of days. That's when she starts doing her shots, the last 3 days of her period, if you will. That's when she does all her loading. So by the time she's on the VLC or the LCD, she's off. And timing is everything. So if you know it's coming, please wait for it to come and pass, and it'll give you hopefully another 28 days of weight loss that you can put under your belt before it happens again. But if you start when you know it's coming in a week or two, you just know if you don't have the discipline to push through it or wait it out, it could set you into a tailspin and frustrate you. But if you are on your cycle and you're on the protocol, just let your body do what it needs to do. Don't try and force it to lose weight. It will drop the weight as soon as your cycle is done. Relax, relieve your stress, and just follow the protocol very tightly. You know, do your exercise, whatever, and it'll all come together. Colin, I have two questions about HCG. I've done several rounds, and I've been losing less and less weight each round, and find that I'm having hunger cravings. Why is that? Also, when I'm off HCG, my hunger returns, and I'm gaining some weight back. Boy, I didn't think it would be this way. The last 25 pounds I wanted to lose are the hardest, and keep gaining some weight in between rounds. I also lost a lot of hair that hasn't grown back. Now, this is Joanne. And what I would ask Joanne, number one, is I'm telling you, every call or every email I get about hair loss, it's usually about people who are following the original protocol. There's not it's basically all the research I did on what was causing the hair loss. I have never personally found anything having to do with HCG causing the hair loss. It is the low protein diet. And that's why I really, really can emphasize that your protein levels have to be brought up to the point where you're getting the right amount of protein and the right amount of calories, because that deficiency seems to be what's traced to the hair loss issues. The B12 seems to help. I don't know if it's because it's somehow counterbalancing with the vitamins, but you know, and which helps nails and hair grow anyway. But it, you know, it's an issue. But what we're talking, what she's asking is what I've already kind of talked about in this show, is how the protocol gets more challenging, and especially if you're doing the original protocol. Your body's going to resist more and more and more the starvation aspect of the protocol. Food cravings during the protocol are usually tied to an ineffective loading phase. If you don't load to the point where you just really are craving good food, clean food, you don't suppress the craving aspect. As far as hunger coming back when you're off protocol, we're supposed to be hungry, people. We're supposed to be hungry. I mean, that's our body's mechanism to tell us it's time to eat. But we have totally misconstrued hunger. I mean, from thirst, I mean, from dehydration to what hungry. None of us have ever allowed ourselves to be truly hungry. It's like, oh, I want to eat something. We're just so used to snacking and munching on stuff. And you never, it's like you're rarely ever hungry. You're just kind of want to, it's like a pacifier. So when people talk about hungry, I always go, would you eat dog? Or would you eat cat? Or would you, and they go, no. Okay, well, you're not starving. You're basically trying to fill a habit. So really, if you're eating every 3 hours and you're having a healthy snack and some protein and vegetables with every main meal, and a fruit and some healthy fats and some carbs now and again, you're not going to be hungry. Protein will suppress your appetite more than carbs will. Carbs make you hungry. Artificial sweeteners make you hungry. So make sure you're spreading out your meals when you're off protocol, that you're eating every 2 or 3 hours something small, and you're never going to be really hungry, quote unquote. So be sure that you can define hunger from basically boredom, boredom. Let's see if I have another one here. That was from Susan. I think that's why. So I think that's the questions I have here. So let me open up the lines, guys. And if there's only a few of you on the call here, I know there's probably, if there's any more questions, I'll see if I can dig them up. But if you want to have a comment or a question, you know, press 1 on your phone, that puts your hand up. And really don't be shy. There's no stupid questions. There's no stupid comments. I mean, people learn from listening to other people's stories or their questions. And really, that's kind of you're actually sharing the love when you ask a question that maybe someone else is afraid to do. I assume you're here for a reason. So if you have any questions, now's the time for you to press 1 and put your hand up. There's one person that has their hand up, but it's been up the whole show. So you probably were doing my sound check for me, and I forgot to put your hand down. So I'm going to call on you. So if you don't have a question, just say you don't. But that's 678-538. You're on the air. Did you have a question, or did you just have your hand up from the beginning of the show?
Oh, no. Hi, Colin. This is Pearl from Vegas. And I just wanted to say that I just finished my second round, and I've lost about 21 pounds, and I'm very happy. I'm kind of giddy about it, and I probably have more weight to lose, but I'm on the second day of stabilization. And I didn't really use your product. I did buy your book.
Uh-huh.
And trying to follow your formula of increasing calories by multiplying your weight by 11, I think you said.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Sorry, increasing week by week. So that's what I'm doing.
You're in phase 3.
Yes, I am.
Okay, great.
So,
great.
But what I want to do is, and I bought some more HCG from you, and I'm going to, you know, wait maybe a couple months and then do another round. But I noticed now that I've lost a little weight, I have loose skin. So what do you suggest to your clients that they do to decrease that?
You know what I suggest? I say build muscle. That's why I tell people to start exercising from the very beginning. I mean, some of the skin issues is going to be genetic, and it does take time for your skin to catch up. I got to tell you, as ripped and as lean as I looked when I was done, I still when I went to go do push-ups, I had like this skin on my stomach that kind of like hung, like the kind of it just kind of hung. I mean, there was still some loose skin there, but it wasn't a lot to where it hung. It would actually hang when I was standing, but as I was vertical, you could see it would look like I had this weird little thing sticking out of my stomach. But you know, it did tighten up after a time. I mean, some of that's genetic. I mean, some of the damage, it depends if you have damaged skin, but ultimately, the only thing, if you notice between people that lose weight and lose weight rapidly, and the ones that lose weight rapidly that don't look very healthy, it's not. It looks like they're kind of their face is melting and everything's melting. It's because of the fact that they lost a lot of muscle in between. And sometimes when you're not activating the muscle, even on this protocol, you lose very little muscle compared to fat. I still noticed some muscle loss, very small amount, but people don't spend any time building muscle. And I know some people lean back. It doesn't mean that, when I say build muscle, I'm not talking about go out there and start banging the weights around. You'd be surprised on what little exercise one needs to do for how little of a time, as far as minutes a day, for you actually to start to fill that space between the dermis, the skin, and the actual muscle. So what I would recommend is, especially as you go into phase three, how active are you?
Well, before I started losing weight, you know, I was a walker, but that didn't really help my body shape. But I have like a Pilates machine. Is that enough to build muscle?
Pilates, yeah, absolutely. Pilates, yoga. I'm telling you, anything that you do that will start activating your muscles and getting them to move, they're going to start to form and define themselves, which is going to kind of fill that space. Now, if you have a ton of excess skin, then it's going to take a while for your body to actually fill it in. And some of it you may not ever get rid of. But usually, if it's a small amount, it's just about toning up the muscle and filling that space. And what happens, it kind of distributes itself pretty evenly. But just so you know, it does take time for your skin to kind of catch up, you know, with the loss you've had. So don't be okay. – You'll notice as the months go on and as you get closer and closer to your goal, and then when you finally get into your phase four of life, you'll notice that your skin will actually start to tighten up around the areas, as long as it's not excess. I mean, if you lose a lot of weight and you may have a lot of stretching going on, it may take a long time for your skin. And for some people, it may not ever come back totally, but there is a way that you can improve upon it. Now, some people say taking MSN and products like that, which is a powdered enzyme they take from the rainforest that helps with skin, and glutamine and stuff like that you can take to help actually shrink the skin or give it a little more collagen. There's women that swear by that, so you know, I'd try that as well.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much. And I just wanted to say that one comment in your book about increasing the protein, I think that really helped me, because I did round before I ever found out who you were, and I didn't lose much weight at all. But when I increased the protein this time, that seemed to help my weight loss.
You look great. You had great numbers and great success. So good for you. And how much weight do you want to lose till you get to your final destination, your final goal?
I'm not
how
sure.
Much more?
Like you said before, I'm not I bought enough to do another 42 days, but I've never been that small before. So who knows?
I love that. You're right. Great job. Thank you. Was it Pearl? You said Pearl.
Yes.
Well, I appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right, next caller, 312. Hold on, Pearl, close that one. 312-854, you're on the air.
Hi, Colin, this is Leah.
Leah.
New
Orleans. I'm the one that sent you the one about the antibiotics. I recently had a tooth, a wisdom tooth that started to grow in, that's impacted, and I got around and it got infected.
Ouch.
10 days of antibiotics and I just went through, they really had to cut bone. I'm really not, if you can't understand me, it's because they had to do a 4-hour surgery to get the tooth out.
Wow.
I found that while I was on the antibiotics, I already had a problem because I had pneumonia earlier in the beginning of my protocol, found out.
Wow.
So I was off for 7 days, so I started over,
right.
And then this came up. And I found that I was stalls for like 8-10 days at the same weight, never up or never down, just at the same weight. And I finally went down like 6 pounds, and then this happened, and now I'm stalled again at the same weight. I don't have the issues that a lot of women have with the menstrual cycle. I lose during that time. But this has stumped me because I'm getting a little frustrated.
Yeah, well, you know, don't get frustrated. It is the antibiotics. The antibiotics, of all the drugs out there that people could be on this protocol, I mean, that seems to be the one thing that really seems to put a halt to weight loss. And you have two choices. You can either just push through it and still maintain your diet plan until you're done with the antibiotics, and so you don't have to start over again and do another load day, or you can just come off and then heal and then have to load and start again. But you kind of already had to do that once already with the pneumonia, which is kind of a bummer. But it's while you have the antibiotic, and think about it, whenever your body's under duress or pain or trying to heal or fight off something, fight off infection, it's spending all of its time trying to do that. And so trying to mobilize and burn fat and do the same thing and do all that at the same time, it's very difficult to do, just like being on a menstrual cycle. So for some women, your body's got to ovulate and process that whole process before it can actually lose weight. So it's really a personal call. I mean, you know, sometimes it's just better to not worry about the weight loss and not cause yourself more mental and emotional stress by just stopping the protocol, still eating a healthy lifestyle. It doesn't give you, you know, carte blanche to just go nuts because you don't want to gain back all the weight you lost. But sometimes just letting your body deal with this infection and process it, and then coming back on and doing it, and then starting another round, and hopefully being healthy for the balance of your round. You know, that's, you've had a couple of setbacks that are, you know, out of your control personally. So you may want to just go ahead and heal and then come back and do it again. I mean, have you been on antibiotics for 10 days now?
I'm in day. The last few days of antibiotics they gave me to complete them because I still had infection when they pulled the tooth.
How many more days of antibiotics do you have?
3 days.
Well, you're at the end of it pretty much. So I mean, so probably by the end of the weekend you would have had the antibiotics would be out of your system and you can actually continue. So it's your call. I mean, have you been still on protocol taking the ACG while you've been doing that?
Yes, I did continue to take it. It's just, it's been a little difficult eating.
I can imagine. Oh, you know what? So you're having a hard time actually physically eating, right? Physically eating.
Yes.
So how are you getting your protein in?
I've been doing a lot of food in my RoboCoop, or for most people a blender, but it's a high speed blender.
Right.
So I've gained a lot of mush.
Yeah. Why don't you try switching to a protein, you know, a solid, good protein powder that has no sugar, like a J. Rob's egg protein or something like that, and make yourself a couple of protein smoothies throughout the day.
Okay.
Because I'm thinking, what happens if you don't get enough protein, your body can't lose weight. So you can't chew your protein right now. You're trying to blend it up, but I don't know how much. I would think you're not getting the same level of protein you would be getting if you're having full, complete meals. Like you're not chopping up you're not blending up a 4.8 ounce chicken breast, right? Are you?
Pretty much.
Oh, you are.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Trying to make it blended, and then I add liquid to make more like a broth or a soup.
Right.
And it's just kind of chunky. It's not really good.
I know, but I love when people really are that committed that they go the extra mile. Try, you have 3 more days of antibiotics. See if you can, you know, maybe if it tastes better. I'm telling you, it may even taste better having a chocolate or vanilla shake with frozen strawberries. And you freeze the strawberries because the strawberries make the shake a shake. So it actually tastes like a shake. You eat it with a spoon, basically. It's that thick. You eat it with a spoon. It takes you about 20 minutes to eat it. But it tastes like eating ice cream. And have a couple of those throughout the day or throughout the weekend and see if your body gets enough of the protein. It gets at least, you know, 60 grams of protein. And see if you're able to drop. Because as soon as the antibiotics are gone from your system, you may start dropping again instead of having to lose more time. I'd try it and see. At least I can promise you it'll taste better. It'll taste a lot better having a couple of shakes throughout the day. And your fruits, if you can eat, you can blend up your fruits. Are you willing to try that? You there? Did I lose you? Hello? That's weird. Can everybody else hear me? Or you're gone. She's gone. It's gone. All right. So you guys, anybody, can you guys hear me? Press one on your phone to tell me if it's my side audio or was that her side going on? Okay, good. Thanks. All right. You can press one again to put your hand down unless you have a question because both of you guys pressed one here for me and it's still up. So let's see. 312-854.
That's me.
Oh, you're here. Okay, you're back. Okay. So try the shakes and let me know how it goes.
Okay.
Right? And get better. I trust me, when it comes to dental pain, oh my God, I feel for you. Nothing's worse than an impacted, infected tooth. It's hugely painful. So I feel for you.
I never had to sit that long at a dentist office.
That's crazy surgery, but you know, I commend you for blending your food. I mean, I love hearing that kind of commitment. When people give me excuses that they can't eat something, they can't do something, and I hear people like you sick, got surgery in your tooth, and you're blending your food so you can get it down, that to me is some serious commitment. So kudos to you, Leah. Kudos to you. Good job.
Thank you.
All right, we got about 15 minutes left. If anybody's got any other questions or comments, press one on your phone, put your hand up, or otherwise I'll just close the show and go have my wonderful meal. And I got to tell you that until somebody pops their hand up, you know, it always blows my mind how amazingly good I feel personally when I'm on protocol. I mean, I got to tell you, it's I know that my family, my wife is really excited for me to finally end this thing and go into phase three and then eventually phase four, because at least life goes back to normal in phase three. There's a lot more latitude than we have in phase two. And she's been such a trooper making a lot of these meals that I've been eating. But I got to tell you, I mean, it's just like, you know, I was checking my blood pressure and I was like, man, my blood pressure is like ridiculously low. It's like low to the point where I'm like going, wow. I mean, it's like really low. I mean, 105 over 60 this morning and 58 and 60. I don't ever have numbers that low. I mean, it's just weird. It's just amazing how detoxed and clean in your body gets when you just remove all the chemicals and the crap and the cravings. And I mean, and it's like, and they've been like eating, like this morning my wife made pumpkin waffles because my stepson's in phase three right now. She made pumpkin protein waffles and they smelled so good, but it's like I look at them like, you know what, nothing's getting in my way right now because I'm just in the zone. And it feels good being in the zone because you can be on a multiple protocol and people will tell you, and some of you on this call will know, it's challenging trying to navigate just the things that come across and the cravings, what have you. And we had to tell you, some of the tips we do is we create our own environment. Like we love UFC fights and we usually will go out to a bar in the valley and go out and meet our friends there and watch the fight. But while on protocol, our friends would say, hey, you guys going to the fight? And I'd say, why don't you all come here? We'll make dinner. You bring whatever you want, your wine, whatever, and we'll make dinner and we'll have the fight here, because I knew I could control my menu. And so basically, we all had fish tacos that we made, that Janie makes with the cabbage and the sautéed spicy tilapia. So we had fish tacos. They had their beer and their wine, but I was able at least to eat my meal and have be in my own environment, and we had a great time, and I had no problem. And they were eating. I had other stuff. I met my friend Debbie. She brought some of the Christmas brownies and stuff that she had made, chocolate stuff she had made, and she brought it all wrapped up and stuff. And I was like, you know, I can't have it. And still sitting in my freezer right now, at the bottom of my freezer, waiting for when I get into phase four and I can have I start doing my sugars and my starches. So it's very empowering when your mindset is congruent with your desire. It can be a lot easier than it has been. So if you're having a challenge, I say, for one thing, don't start a protocol until you're absolutely ready, emotionally, physically, and mentally ready to do it. It makes a big difference on how easy or how hard it will be. But when you do make a commitment to say, this is it, this is what I'm going to do, this is how, this, this, these are the results I want, this is what I'm going to get, it does make it easier for you to stay on point because you have a resolve. You're in the zone, and I tell you that being in the zone and exercising and like running, making the choice to run to the gym versus drive my car. I only live like it's like not even a mile. I'm about a mile away from the gym. So it's not a long run, but the thing is that instead of driving my car down there, I run a mile there. I usually get there 15 minutes early, so I run another mile on the treadmill. I work out with my trainer for 30 minutes straight, and then I leave there and I run a mile home, and I get my 3 miles in for the day. And I get to get on the scale, you know, later in the evening, and I get to play my little game with the scale and see if I get close to my weight that I was up before. Sometimes I'm even 2 pounds lower than I was the weight when I woke up in the morning, and that kind of gets me the excitement of, man, if I can pull this off and drop another 2 pounds overnight. And now, you know, it doesn't always work that way. It's usually I get a pound, but sometimes I do get a 2 pound. Like I did get a 2 pound drop this Saturday. I had a 2 pound drop, and then Sunday I had a 1.5 pound drop, and then today I had a 1 pound drop. So having those numbers again late into my round, it means all about dialing it in. And just getting a little bit more, I had to get a little bit more, make sure everything was measured out precisely because I started getting a little sloppy. And I just noticed whenever you get sloppy about something, this protocol will ping you really hard on the nose and say, you're not doing something you're supposed to be doing. Because guess what? If your numbers are inconsistent, people, I don't care if you're an HD diet coach or if you're someone doing it for the first time. If you're doing something, if you're not consistent with your water, your protein, your food, your exercise, you're going to have inconsistent numbers. They're going to be all over the place. They're going to slow up. They're going to speed up. And they're not just having a lucky day or a bad day. It's you. It's you. You're showing up differently the day before, and that's the result you're getting. And so for me, every time I have a challenge, I looked at myself and go, okay, what did you do differently, or what did you not do? And then I tweak it because, you know what, I don't want to be on this thing forever. I want to get to my goal and move to phase three so I can start, you know, spending some more time with my family, socializing outside of the house. So anyway, I just want to let you know that it can get easier if you make the commitment to really clean it up and be serious about your journey. Because trust me, you can make it as long or as short as you want it to be. And sometimes you're going to have unexpected challenges, like I had the 10-day pushing through that weight set point. And I could have gotten really frustrated. I could have said, it's just not working for me anymore. So I'm immune. I could have come up with all kinds of freaking stories. Or I could just go, where are you not cleaning up your act? Where are you fudging the line just a little bit? And then realize that, okay, let's clean it up. And guess what? It pushed past it, and my numbers are picking up better than just as if they were in the very beginning, which is really exciting stuff. So I'm in my last, you know, hopefully 10 days of this protocol. If it is 10 days, if it's more, I don't care. But I can see that I'm coming to the finish line. I'm looking how I want to look, and I still have the finishing touches to it. And it just feels good. So you guys just want to be a reminder that, you know what, I don't know of any other way to lose weight that is so effective. I don't. If I did, I'd tell you about it. I'm not stuck on stupid or stuck on this particular protocol. If it didn't work, I wouldn't be here every week talking about it. And really what I'm going to be focusing on, you know, getting the new nutrition certification and figuring out a better way to navigate phase four, that it can make it just easier for people to live and to vacation and to socialize and to have time out, but also not live to diet. Nobody wants to diet. You know, no one wants to live to diet. Who wants that? And there is a way, but our way right now, I think it's a little bit too. I still think it takes a lot higher discipline than I'm probably not giving people credit for. But I just know that given the amount of people that I have, that this seems to be their biggest challenge. So just like in the one email. But she was saying that she seems to just gain weight in between rounds. So you feel like you gain all this momentum, and all of a sudden you gain back 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 pounds, and you kind of go, damn, it's like, what am I doing wrong? And usually it's a matter of either not paying attention to what you've learned, if you follow the protocol about what food your body's sensitive to, and just saying, what the heck, I'll deal with it later, or not living by the 2 pound rule, which really is the easiest. You know, if you want to keep live by the 2 pound rule and make the correction day every time you have to, and you'll never have a weight problem again in your life. It takes work. It takes discipline, but I'm telling you, it works. If you get 2 pounds over your end weight, just like in phase three, if you pretend that your phase four life is as serious as phase three, and that every time you go 2 pounds over your end weight, you just do a correction, you either do a protein day, which is, you know, consisting of eating just protein for the day. So I don't care if you do fake yogurt or eggs or three protein shakes throughout the day or a steak day. Just doing a protein day, that will take away the edema and put you right back where you started from. And if you're willing to do that, if it happens to start out being every 3 days and then you take it out there every once a week to every 2 weeks, you'll learn what you're doing to trigger that 2 pound gain. I can promise you that formula, you'll never have a weight problem again in your life. But it does take a commitment and discipline. That is the easiest way I know of right now. And I do have some things that are coming up, but I think a revised phase 4 that I think people are going to go crazy over. But like I said, we have our family members, I have some clients right now. We're all testing it out to see how it plays out. And once I get the feedback and get basically a 70% plus success rate out of it, then I'll tell you guys about it. But until then, what we have in the book right now works if you work it. And I'm going to end the show. We got 6 minutes left. I want to thank you guys for being here. Those of you that suited up, showed up for this call. I hope I gave you some interesting conversation, some food for thought, and some inspiration that permanent fat loss and permanent weight loss is possible if you're willing to walk the walk. And I will walk my talk and walk my walk here. And I just appreciate you guys being here. Jane and I could not do what we do without you. And I love that I get up every day and have a purpose. I know that every day I'm going to talk to somebody, help somebody, and they're going to help me. And the two conversations I had today with the clients who were on the phone really were inspiring. And you just realize how strong people are and how much adversity they've gone through and how willing they are. Even with Leah, willing to, you know, blend her food and not have it taste very good just to stay on protocol, that's commitment. And a lot of you guys could learn from people like that. And like Susan, who's literally taking the lead in her family to take on this challenge and lead by example and have the rest of the people follow. That's powerful. That takes a strong person to lead when there's a lot of really hectic things going on in their lives right at that particular time. So I'm proud of you guys. I commend you guys, and you guys inspire me. So thanks so much for being here. We'll see you hopefully next week with a new show, a new topic, and then hopefully by the end of the month, we'll have some of our 8CG diet heroes or success stories of people who have really kind of made this a way of life come on and share their methodologies with you, and hopefully that will give you guys some more insight and maybe different ways of maintaining weight, different from my philosophy. Like I said, I don't know it all, but I sure will do my best to get all who know it in front of you. All right, so God bless you guys. I'll talk to you soon. Take care. I'm going to close the show out, put a little I Believe I Can Fly. I got to change my music here. I got the same songs for the last year and a half. And put some new music up here for next time. But thanks for being here, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
I used to think that I could not go on, and life was nothing but an awful song. But now I know the meaning of true love. I'm leaning on the everlasting arms. If I can see it, then I can do it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can trust God. Think about it every night and day. Spread my wings and fly away. I believe I can soar. I see me running through that open door. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. I believe I can fly. I was on the verge of breaking down. Sometimes silence can seem so loud. There are miracles in life I must achieve. But first I know it's
then I can be it. If I just believe it, there's nothing to it. I believe I can fly. I believe I can touch the sky. I think about it every night and day. Spread my wings. I can fly. Yeah.